It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
And Jason Wilde will get asked the same question that Brian Bulaga asked. Then Brian will ask him how he is. And that question is, what would you tell Devontae Adams? Good afternoon, Jason.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, you don't have to ask me how I am. I would tell him, come on home. It's the perfect fit. You get to be a mentor and prepare the next generation of number one wide receiver, whoever that might be, just as Jordy and Randall Cobb did for you. You get to be with a quarterback who may not be Aaron Rodgers, but his arrow is still pointing up, and he has improved so much from when you left after the 21 season. And you know that because you've said it yourself, Devontae. You get to be the number one wide receiver for this team. You will definitely still be that because you still have plenty left in the tank. And as a three-time Tom Mulhern stand-up guy award winner, the most important thing, you get to have Jason Wilde cover you again when you had some of your best seasons, which, of course, those two things were related.
All right, Doctor of Football, Brian Bulaga. Yeah, you follow that. Take it away.
I mean, all great reasonings. I guess, Jason, for this thing to actually get done, and we have no idea if Goody's thinking this is something they want to do, but say it is, right? Where do you think, from a number standpoint, this thing gets done? Like, in your head, from a number standpoint, where do you see this thing falling in line with Devontae and Green Bay?
So I'm gonna defer to Adam Schefter. I had my story yesterday that a source close to Devontae, I usually go to a source close to Brian Bulaga for information about Brian Bulaga too, said that he was open to the idea of returning to this team. I mean, first of all, let's be honest, he's going to be open to some other teams too, right? Like if the Chiefs or the Rams or the Chargers or the 49ers were to reach out to him. You know, I think all those teams would have some appeal, right? But I'm going to defer to Adam Schefter, who said that he believes, and I'm guessing he talked to some agents who gave him a ballpark number, $16 million a year, which to me...
That's nothing.
That is very reasonable. Now, if somehow there was a bidding war and that number went up, I get it. That makes it a little more challenging. But if that's the number, you know, if you do a two-year, you know, let's say it's 2 years, $40 million, but with, you know, 24 guaranteed in the first year plus whatever his salary is, and then he gets the second year and he gets $40 million total, but only 32 of it is, say, guaranteed, that'd be $16 a year. I would jump at that because and Brian, I think we kind of talked about this yesterday with you on our show. Like, let's not forget where the Packers are at wide receiver. Like, their two guys who were in year two this season did not make the year two jump that is so important, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Those two guys combined for 19 dropped passes. They certainly did not have their production. I mean, I think Wicks ended up with the same number of receptions and fewer yards than he had as a rookie. Reed led them in receptions and yards again. I think his yards went up, but his receptions went down. There was not a big leap forward for either of those guys. Then you add in the Watson situation with the ACL. And again, I hope Romeo Dobbs is healthy, wealthy, and wise, and he's going to be fine. But I start to worry when you get a second concussion in less than 2 months, and you look the way he looked leaving the field in Philly, despite the Guardian cap, right? So suddenly now you're in a position where of the six wide receivers that you've drafted in the 22 and 23 drafts, Two of them have injury questions and are in the last year of their contracts. Two of them have not made the second-year jump you were hoping they would. And the other two, you aren't even on your team anymore and have been replaced by Malik Heath and Bo Melton. So you're not at this position at wide receiver where you can thumb your nose at the idea of bringing back a guy that's a three-time first-team All-Pro and a six-time Pro Bowler. So, again, I don't know what Goody's thinking. I have not, I did not text him to say, hey, look, I'm going to write something about Devontae coming back. Is that something you're even entertaining? Because I'm pretty sure if he'd have texted me back, it would have been, well, Jason, we look at everything, which is not an answer. So I don't know if he's authentically interested or not. All I would say is, given the state of affairs at wide receiver, I just think he should be.
Yeah, I mean, with all that, and I, like we talked about on your program the other day, the thing is the Watson injury, right? That's the thing that I think about that room mm-hmm. right now that worries me the most. Not that he's not going to recover, because he'll recover
right.
and he'll get back.
Just like you did. Right.
Yeah. Like, that's not what I'm concerned about. It's when he gets back. And when he gets back, how quickly will he be able to integrate and jump back in when the season's late in the season? And we all know the end of the season is when everything ramps up and getting him yep. back into the swing of things. And for his own sake, right? Like, he's got to try to get back into this thing, coming off an ACL. It's not easy. So, like, that's the whole part of it. And with removing him from that room, and now you're dealing with, like you said, Dobbs. Like, obviously, the head injuries are something I don't like even messing with or dealing with. So that's a very, sensitive issue and injury that is, they have to do that. That's between him and the docs and his family that no one really knows what's going on there. So now you say you remove those two guys. What does that receiver room really look like right now? Like, it looks a lot different than what we thought it would look like last year. And that's kind of where I'm looking at this thing going into this offseason, which, talking about Tay, wouldn't be a bad guy to have in. At least that's my outlook on it.
Jason, did you ever call him Tay?
Just curious.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep. I wasn't his teammate like Brian was, but I still did that. I'm a big nickname guy. I think it allows you to connect better with people. But there are colleagues of mine that think that we should never call guys by their nicknames to kind of
really. I was just
keep
curious.
Our distance. Yeah, yeah. So as Blue was saying, I would also add this, and I say this with nothing but love in my heart for Brian. But Brian came back from two ACLs. Tausch came back from two ACLs, but neither one of them ran like Christian Watson. Mm-hmm. And they did come back, and they had great careers after both those injuries. It still was a battle, and they weren't the ones having to try and reclaim running a 4.3 40-yard dash and taking the top off the defense. So even if he's back in, say, November, at what capacity, at what percentage is he back? And then the Dobbs thing, like, remember, he's in a contract year. And let's not forget that he just decided not to show up for work at one point when he was unhappy. Like, there are issues there that there was a time where you were like, oh, this guy and Zach Tom are both going to get extensions before they get into the final years of their deals. And yeah. I don't think you're thinking that way about Romeo Dobbs right now. And I talked to Zach Tom when they did locker room clean out, and he did admit that pec injury, as Brian told us was the case, was a real issue for him. And so I assume he's still someone they want to extend. But by his own admission, he did not play as well as he did the previous year or as well as he would have played had he been fully healthy. So, the Dobbs-Watson part of this, if I'm the Packers, I see Devontae as a two-year guy that can be my number one while Wicks and Reed continue to elevate their games. And then, if I'm really smart, which Goody isn't always when it comes to older players, I get to have Davante Adams maybe even longer than that, and he cedes the number one receiver job, just like during the 17 season, Jordy was willing and able and in the process of doing at the time of Rodgers' broken collarbone. And Davante was clearly the number one receiver that year, and Jordy was not so prideful that he had to be like, no, I'm the guy. And I think Davante would be the same way, and he'd still be productive. And suddenly now your two young guys have ascended, and they've had the ability to do it on a timeline where they had a little bit of cushion, as opposed to if they have no interest, if Goody has no interest in them, they need Reed and Wicks to play like a 1A and 1B immediately, like this year. They have to go from not making the jump you wanted to see in year two to making a huge jump in year three.
Yeah, but Jason, that's not going to happen. You know that, I know that, and Brian knows that, or Blue, whatever. Right, it's not going to happen. You can say it, right? I mean, you don't believe it's going to happen. The chance of that happening is what, 5%?
Of them actually getting Adams?
No, of the two players you just mentioned elevating to the level that you said is necessary.
I still think both those guys are capable of being really good players.
Yes, next year?
I just think it makes it, I think it's possible. I mean, but what I'm saying is that I would much rather have them do it. I mean, again, I am old school. I've done this for a really long time. I can go through the succession plan.
Right. But Jason, if Goody believes that, then he's less likely to get Adams. I don't need to get Adams. Jason just told me they could do it on their own.
Well, but what I'm saying, no, because what happened with those guys was there was always the number one guy, and then there was the next guy elevating and then surpassing, whether it was Jennings to Driver or Jordy to Jennings. That Adams passing Jordy. And instead, the way he chose to do this of not re-signing Adams and of drafting all these guys is that was Alan Lazard a number one in 2022? Because statistically, he was. They have not had a true one since they traded Adams. And you bring him back, he's not the same player when you traded him, but he puts you in a position where those guys now get a little bit of cushion as they grow into the number one spot.
All right, Dr. Blue, you get the final question.
I guess, Jason, the stat came out today, and I don't know how much you read into it. I think I looked at it into it a little bit more. I took it a little bit, you know, as a real positive sign. Green Bay in tackling this year, top 10 in the league. I think if you looked at it last year, they were probably the bottom 10 in the league. It's got to be a good sign. That's got to be something really positive taken into the offseason that big of a turnaround happened in 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, that's coaching, but and I would defer to you. You're the one who played in the league. I would also say it's scheme because guys were – the way the defense was designed, they weren't having to cover such massive amounts of ground when they were out of position and then unable to make tackles. And – so I think, obviously, they upgraded at safety, right? Both those guys, especially McKinney, but also Williams and even Bullard, were upgrades over what they'd had as their bad tackling safeties. So that position, for one, and, yeah, there were a bunch of guys that did not miss tackles, and they rallied to the ball. But I also think Halfley had them in positions where they could be decisive. They weren't struggling to read things, and that allowed them to get to the ball carrier sooner and not have to cover as much ground. Cooper covers a ridiculous amount of ground. He's different. He's an outlier. Most of these guys, though, Quay Walker, for example, as athletic as he was not in position a lot of times, and then he missed tackles because he was out of position. I would argue this season he was out of position less. And his tackling percentage went up.
And I would say three of the top six weren't on the team the year ago.
Yeah, right. That's huge. Yep.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. You go to WisconsinOnDemand.com and just hit Jason Wilde, and you get everything he says. The first thing he'll go is, does the guy ever sleep? He's on like every show. Is there any show that he's not on? All right, tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Taken unknowingly, created. Who knew it was going to happen? Bucks and Six. You know what Brandon Jennings said that when there was a series against Miami? Bucks and Six. They lost by 1,000,000 points in four, but it had a second chance. How it became the rallying cry and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast, Behind the Bucks, it's presented by Gallagher. I got more for Brian Bulaga on how he would respond to Aaron Rodgers, Goody, Jordan Love, just for starters. Next.